Okay. I'll begin by asking you a question. When Mashiach comes, what will the Mashiach be riding? Anybody tell me? What's that?
They say a donkey.
A donkey, correct. Everybody knows that the Mashiach, as I say that as an introduction. Right? Now, you've always... Where did you get... Same. Where did you get that imagery from, this idea of the Mashiach be riding on a donkey? Heard of it, right?
I said, but it doesn't sound very Jewish, really.
Doesn't sound very Jewish?
Yeah.
What? Donkey. Riding on a white donkey, correct? Okay. The question is, where did we get that from? And let me ask you even this question. Let's make a value judgment about it. Do you want Mashiach riding in on a donkey?
A black stallion.
Oh, right. I mean, when we were very good. We'll get to that.
Humble.
What?
It's humble.
It's humble. So you're familiar with also that? She'll be riding six white horses when she comes. No, a donkey. You're riding. The idea of the donkey implies humility. Has anybody here? Anybody? I work in. You know where I work?
Bilam has a donkey.
What?
Bilam has a donkey.
Bilam is a donkey.
And a donkey.
Well, who also has a donkey?
He's got the special powers that can talk, right?
And yeah, that's what we're starting with.
Like the Evan that Moshe hit instead of talking to.
1 second. Bilam's donkey, they say, is the same as Abraham Avinu's donkey. But I ask you again, would you...
So why wouldn't it be the same donkey?
That's not the issue, right?
The question is, the issue...
Wouldn't you expect him to be a bit more like upmarket?
Wouldn't you, right? Would you expect your... Your Mashiach to be riding in
Why wouldn't he be coming in a Bentley then? Why wouldn't he be coming in a Bentley then?
Why not? Indeed. We're going to ask that question. Well, what would you, meaning the idea, we've always taken this idea
that's
that Mashiach...
That's got more than six white horses.
Well, Mashiach is going to be 600 horses. Mashiach will be riding it on a horse, right? So, on a donkey. Why should, I mean, is that a good thing? Did we ever ask the question, is that a good thing? Is that something that we want?
Who cares?
What?
What does it matter?
You don't care what he rides it on?
Of course we do, because he has to be a certain height.
What
would Goyim
say? 200-pound grill sit. Whatever you want.
And a prophet can't be a prophet unless he's rich. I mean, there's so many things.
Johnny just tells something very important. A prophet can't be a prophet unless he's rich. Why is that?
And kings have to be a certain height.
Correct. Did you really imagine the Melech HaMashiach, the person who's going to redeem the Jewish people? I mean, I don't know where you guys work, but where I work, every now and then on the last row that I drive to, from the 5 to my final destination, we have some of our cousins are driving on the side of the road. Right, in a little cart behind a donkey. Have you ever?
You know you're Israeli when you start using the word cousins.
Some of our cousins.
People talk about that like at work, and you're like, "That's not my cousin. They're not related to me."
Yes. Okay.
And then you're like, "They're like."
And I often wonder.
They're like, you know, B'nai Dodim.
B'nai Dodim.
And then you're like, "Oh."
So I'm like, wondering why are they? Why do they still ride the donkey? I'm like, have you ever seen anybody ride behind a donkey? It is not the most efficient way to travel. It just isn't now. Like, try a motorcycle or something. I don't really understand it. You'll see it. And start to ask ourselves, is this the imagery? Is this the image that we really want to be riding on a donkey? And especially when, like, Paro, you know, King Paro, right? What did he ride on?
Chariot
behind?
Horses.
They had the technology back then. They knew that there were other things. Okay? You know, and Melech Yisrael also, it says, Lo Yar Belo Susim, but he couldn't have too many horses, which means he had enough horses to get what he needed done. So if David HaMelech or Shlomo HaMelech rode on a horse, why would his great-great-grandson want to ride on a donkey? I'm telling you, it's not as fun. Right? Some veterinarians I know didn't buy a donkey for the kids to ride on. That much I can tell you. Oh, B'Sha'at Tova Mutzlachat. I heard we're expecting. Okay. So we say that...
Horse.
Oh my God! Okay, so now our chapter, which I start with that by way of introduction, because we're going to get to that specific. We're going to answer that specific question as we move along today. Yadua, you want to follow? Yadua, the emunat biat Mashiach tzidkenu etzleinu. It is well known. He's going to talk about the idea of kol dodi lefek, and we're actually going to get to. Will we get to this today? Yes, we'll get to this today as well. Second. No, we won't. So we'll start. We won't give the whole quarter to the fake thing. To be a Mashiach zidkenu etzleinu zera Abraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov Talmidei Moshe Rabbeinu Avdei Adonu David HaMelech. The idea, the faith that Mashiach will come, who klal munach v'yasod musad. It's a foundation of Judaism. It's a taken as a given, as a granted klal munach. Vutakua belibenu migdolenu v'aktanenu amok amok, and it is set into our hearts, into our from the oldest to the youngest, so deep. To the point that if all the winds in the world blew and all the upheavals, the chol ha'andrela musiot. What's that word mean? All the andrela musiot. You guys are in English. Anybody in English? All the winds and all the upheavals and all
the
catastrophes. Okay. You can't, it cannot even budge. It's so deeply entrenched in us that it cannot move us. Even the most terrible things can't shake our faith in Mashiach. Now, he's saying this as a fact. For him, it's a fact. We're going to see for many other people, it's not such a fact. Meaning, as much as they believed, right, at some point you begin to question. Even if he shall tarry. Amen. Right? He believes that it will come. And we're not gonna try to figure out a time and try to figure out from the Psukim when he's gonna come. By the way, who did try to figure out a time when Mashiach is gonna come?
The Rebbe.
What?
The Rebbe.
The Rebbe, who else?
Yaakov was predicting it.
What?
Yaakov was predicting it.
Yaakov Avinu?
He was
gonna predict it. Who else? Chashveros. Pretty much every parshan at every given time tries to explain when Mashiach is going to come. They usually try to do it from the book of Daniel, and they always predict that when is it going to come?
Tomorrow.
In about 20 years. You know what I'm saying? Like, in our generation, in about 20 years. Whenever they're wrong, so like, you know, it's just a guess.
He's not coming?
What?
Not coming.
He is coming. Today.
Tomorrow.
You have to believe, but to try to figure it out. I mean, we say we're not allowed to, but everybody kind of does. Okay? Even we do it. When is Mashiach, when is the latest that Mashiach can come, as we all know? Ah, so you know that, it's a fact. Well, how do you know that? Where do you know that from?
Johnny
told
me.
What?
Johnny
told you. Did the Gemara say that explicitly?
Yeah. The Gemara said that.
What is that? What, Shisha, six days?
2,000 years of Tohu, 2,000 years of Torah, and 2,000 years of Nikos to Mashiach, or whatever.
Okay. Don't get me wrong, but 1,700 years ago, what happened?
1,700 years ago?
Yeah. If we're towards the end of the 2,000 years of Ikvita Mashiach.
No, we're not at the end yet.
But it started 1,700 years ago.
Started 1,700 years ago, yeah.
With what?
End of the Gemara.
200?
What
was it, 200? 300? 350?
400?
Was it 400? 400? 350? See, you're off by a couple hundred years.
End of the Mishnah, 250.
Alright. But you're just saying that arbitrarily because I said 1,700 years.
I mean, I think that's how most that Gemara is. And then the idea is like 6,000 years, okay, but it could come earlier if we're like whatever.
Exactly. Even we play these games. Exactly the point. When is Mashiach going to come? Today, tomorrow? What?
We left Mitzrayim early because, you know, it was really hard.
If we left Mitzrayim early because it was really hard, we would have been in, and Mashiach would have come ages ago.
She was to come
in
the time of the desert.
When Avram was told how many years we're going to go down.
400 years.
The way we calculate.
Right. I mean, it's really not 400 years. I mean, they all deal with that. Okay. Halavai, we should have been over by now. Okay.
Oh.
So we don't try to figure it out. Kihumin ha-dvarim ha-ne'elamim v'ha-chatumim. It is hidden and sealed. Satum v'tamun mikol ben-chai. It's hidden from every human being, living being. Kashma'amar, Roshim Baruchai, Midrash Rashimim. Im yomar lecha adam, matai ben David ba. If someone tells you, I know when Mashiach is going to come, al-tamin lo. Don't believe him. Why? Kiliba lepuma lo galia. Nobody has any idea. It's not known. Kashi arich bezegam rabino rambam pirushal the mishnah be igarto niflag dushan nikret igeret teman. Ayanjam. If you recall correctly, we alluded to igeret teman when we started. Okay. What? Who could be wrong? Oh, that there's no time? No, he says there is a time.
He won't tell you.
I saw that sign. It's all over the. It's all over the highway. If he lives in Tel Aviv, though, you don't think he'd like come? I never got that sign. Okay. Achni bulan neviotein v'gam chalina mishdal b'shas u'bidrash v'sefer kabbalot migodil hatzarot v'harigot v'aratifot shiasulam b'nei Yisrael ba'acharit hayamim kodem bi'at haMashiach. So everyone basically testified to the idea that before Mashiach comes, there will be terrible, terrible suffering. So, from the suffering, you can already begin to tell when the Mashiach is going to come. Kashem mevuar v'sivinu kadoshim. The koshi hagalut ein matchil ela achar zman smichat ha-geula. Right? So, how do you know the geula is coming? What?
How much suffering? Too much already.
What some people thought after the Holocaust, that was like, that was it.
Were they wrong?
For the game.
Who knows?
He reckons he's in hard times now, but he's comparing that to history. It doesn't mean it's the hardest time.
I think it was pretty clear to everybody at that time that they were in the hardest time since Churban HaBayit.
No, what about, I'm sure in the Spanish Inquisition they were thinking, geez, this is really the hardest time.
Yeah.
And then later on, they were going, during the, you know, the Crusades are going, wow, this is really the hardest time
right.
left. But they were,
wait, you don't think that they knew in the Holocaust that there was worse in the Holocaust than the Spanish Inquisition?
Because no
as
way.
Bad as it was, the Spanish Inquisition.
I'm sure it was worse.
What about in the,
that's
like,
not
the,
you're thinking each time they said,
is it going to be the hardest time? He's saying, he's going to go on and say, is like, we're in pretty hard times. So maybe this is the start of the coming of Mashiach, right? But, in a way, you're only doing that because you're looking back, right? It's easy when you've got hindsight.
Yeah.
This looks, yeah, I'm in the middle of the Holocaust, so this looks like the hardest time we've ever had.
Right.
Therefore, we must be waiting towards the shift. But maybe there's...
Ask a more relevant question.
Yeah.
Was that the hardest time? Do you think...
Holocaust?
It? Do you think now that we've got Israel, that's it? We're not going to have any hard times. There's not going to be a nuclear war. There's not going to be...
That's the problem.
Wow. So you're saying,
is this it? Have we been through the worst?
How can you say that? How do you know?
You can say it.
No, I know. I'm just not going to tell you.
Okay, but
how can you know?
You can't.
And I'm sure when they were in the Crusades, like you said, like you know, like there are people like locked up in a church, and everyone has to commit suicide. You have to kill like your whole family because this is it. Mashiach is coming tomorrow. This doesn't get any worse than this.
For them, it
didn't. In the Spanish Inquisition, it didn't in the pogroms.
Whatever, yeah.
Whatever.
Come on, I mean, don't get me wrong, this is going to sound, how can this not sound callous, but how do you compare even what you described and even what you described to the Holocaust? Yeah. It's like, so, it's...
It's
so exponentially...
They were going around, the Christians saying,
it's so exponentially
like
beyond...
Do you want me to cut your head off?
Yeah.
Think about that.
And in the Holocaust, they didn't ask you.
No, exactly. And it wasn't individual.
No, but we got the same point. At that time, they would have thought it was the worst.
I don't know. It's hard to.
Like,
it's hard to compare tragedies.
At some point, mass extermination of an entire race.
Yeah, but they didn't know that. There wasn't like CNN, beaming them, you're in France and like they're killing everybody around you. But in Spain, they're okay.
You don't think they knew?
Think so.
You don't think in the Spanish Inquisition, of course they knew it was just in Spain. They were trying to get to Portugal. They were trying to get to wherever. They were trying to get out.
I don't know.
You know, and it was as hard as it was. They wouldn't let them out or whatever. I mean, no, they did let them out.
Right,
Spanish Inquisition was the people who...
When you're there and they're
faked
like...
It.
When you're there and they like round up your
Holocaust
whole... Round up your whole family, round up your whole show. It doesn't get like much worse than that. You don't care what's going on in like Bavaria or whatever. I mean, it doesn't matter to you. This is like the worst, as worse as it gets.
That's true for
they
you.
Round up, but like... And you think that that's like the end?
The descriptions of the Crusades were there was blood running, rivers of blood running in the streets of Yerushalayim, right?
During the Crusades? Mm-hmm. Well, how many Jews were in Yerushalayim in the Crusades? How many Jews in Yerushalayim in the Crusades? They weren't Yerushalayim. The Crusades wasn't about Yerushalayim.
As a historian.
Crusades was about European communities that were destroyed.
No, it's rude.
I don't know.
It doesn't invalidate his.
It doesn't make us more spiritual. We should go on.
He's in. You're asking me how
in the middle of the. Well, he doesn't know he's in.
It's a historical argument.
He's in the middle of the Holocaust. Of course, he's saying that this is the worst of all times. Of course, he is.
I don't know. I think there is. I personally believe. Right. We're not going to. I'm not going to convince you. But there is an objective level at which point you can say.
I mean, if
okay, didn't you say we're not going to? Aaron's like, fuck out over there. Okay, 1 second. Mizel. Okay, so that's what he says. Let's skip the parentheses. Hen got the Rashi be pasuk, and it says, "Kemo hara takriv laledet," just as the pregnant woman comes closer to giving birth. Tachil tizak v'chabaleha.
Great Tosfos about Pesach.
She will continue and begin to cry out through her birth pangs. Kein hayinu mipanecha Hashem. So too we were with. Before you, oh God. Tell us what you want to relate?
There's in the Haggadah we say, "V'nomer lecha shira chadasha."
Uh-huh.
And the Tosfos from Pesachim asks, why doesn't it not say Shir Chadash? What's between Shir Chadasha and Shir Chadash?
Okay.
And if I remember this correctly, he says that Shira Chadasha, that is a greater Geula, because basically what he's saying here, he describes it to a woman giving birth, and that the labor pangs are very painful, and that at the time of Mitzrayim it was like a woman giving birth, and that it was painful, but then in the end we were able to go out and enjoy the redemption, and that when it says V'noda lecha Shir Chadash, that we say afterwards Shir Chadash, and that the Atid Lavo, it will be like a Shir Chadash without birth pangs.
Interesting. Really?
Yeah.
That's about what Tosfos say? Okay, I'll take your word for it. But just so you know, the idea of birth, I once heard a shir, a brilliant shir, and I'll just give you the bottom line that I heard from Rav Herzl Hefter about the idea of Kriyat Yamsuf. You see, Mitzrayim being like a birth. If you think about the imagery of Yamsuf, right? A womb, in essence, is a big yam. Right? And when a woman gives birth, the yam opens, right? And the child is expelled or whatever, is passed through and is delivered. And he said, if you think about it, what the Yamsuf was this big body of water, and it split, and then the Bnei Israel went through it. And that was a very nice, beautiful imagery of the birth of a nation. Anyway, but I digress.
And what was Mitzrayim?
What?
What was Mitzrayim?
I don't know, 9 months of hell. Okay. But you heard of the term, you have heard of the term Chevle Mashiach.
Yeah.
Chevle Mashiach. What is Chevle? Birth pangs, the birth pangs of the coming of the Messiah. He says, it is an objective truth that the closer a woman comes to giving birth, the more frequent her contractions and the greater her pain. And we know a woman is really going to give birth, she can't stand, she can't speak, whatever it is. But so he says, just like that's true by nature, it's also true metaphysically, in supernatural ways, in Bnei Israel. And the greater the Chevle Mashiach, the more you know that the birth is imminent.
Here's what he says here. It says, V'nom lefanav shira chadasha, v'kein nor lecha shir chadash al gulaseinu. That there's shira chadasha, and then it says shir chadash. V'achi kanya b'mechilta kol shirat lashon hakeva. All the shiras should be lashon hakeva. Chutz mishirat lasi lavo. Lashon zachar. Kolomar shen hakeva yesh la tzar leida. Af kohanisim yesh achreyam tzar, chutz milatid she'en achreya tzar. V'kein yasid apayit zlat,
yu'lashon hakeva. So how do you deal with...
No.
What would he do with that Tosos? We'll see. I'll give you an answer. Okay.
Vayamahu Yashem Echad. Kilo, at some point, they'll be like, ah, and then like, we'll like...
I'll answer it today. The whole Eilu Atzavon Egzeru L'Kashot V'Hashmar Abayim Alin Beit Hazot, all these terrible things we endure, Aleinu Lisa Be'ahava U'Bechiba, we should bear them with love and with closeness, V'Lisbol B'Chol Ma'amatzei Kocheinu, we should just suffer through them as much as we can. They are considered like a korban kalil. By the way, he's not saying this himself, right? Who he's quoting from the Rambam? Like he says, "Kasher beiti le'el b'pticha b'shem Rabbi or Rambam migeret tema." Okay, you're quoting from the Rambam.
Because people
the Rambam said it to the people in the Yemen who were undergoing the same Shemad.
They said, don't worry about it.
He didn't say, don't worry about it. He said, it's like a korban, it's like an offering, it's like a sacrifice to the Ribono Shel Olam. And the more you accept it, the more you take it, the greater it is before God. And we should not, and by the way, I'm convinced, a lot of what Rav Teichdal wrote, he also said. I mean, he was well known as a great darshan. So it's quite clear to me that he would get up, they would ask him to speak, and he gave this speech. And you could just imagine just how frighteningly powerful it is, because they had davening in Budapest on the Shabbos. He got up in davening and he said, you know...
Buddha or Pest?
You know, and he got up in davening and they gave the drasha, and he said, we're in difficult times, and we have to accept it, we have to bear the burden of it, etc., etc. That would be incredibly powerful. As the Navi prophesized, the Navi prophesies the following. You will say, it's worthless, we wasted ourselves, it was worthless to worship God. And what is the benefit of those who kept his covenant? Hogatim Hashem b'divreichem ba'amarchem kol ha'oseh ra'ah tov b'enei Hashem u'behem u'chafetz o'ayei Elokei Mishpat. Meaning, you wondered, where's God, right? During the suffering. And where's the God of justice? So he continues. Av didabru yirei Hashem isha v'yehu. Then those who fear Hashem will speak one to the other. V'yakshev Hashem v'yishma v'yikatev sefer zicharon lefanav yirei Hashem u'lechoshvei shemo. Hakam Kadosh Baruch Hu will write a sefer of memory to those who feared His name. V'hayuli amar Hashem tzvakot liyom asher ani oseh segula. And those people will be for me the day that I make treasured. V'chamalti aleihem, and I shall have compassion upon them. Kasher yachmol ish al beno ha'oved oto, as a person has compassion on his son who worships him and works for him. V'shavtem u'ri'item ben tzadik uven rasha ben oved elokim la'asher lo avdu. So that's also a quote from Malachi. V'ayin Rashi b'farash, Rashi says, az v'dabru, ani meshiv al dibreichem, az. Right? I will respond to what you say then. Ba'asoto v'sha'im rish'ah. When the rish'ahim do evil, v'atovim halalu kado ranit mipanai. And the good people, halchu kado ranit, went straight before me. Nidabru yirei Hashem, right? Those people who spoke before God, shalom lidabek b'masei hara'ah. Va'ani, God says, lo nishkechu devarim lifanai. I won't forget it. Va'afalpi she'eni memaher la'ashiv gemul, even though I won't pay you back quickly. Ki shavti v'shamati v'siviti lechtov lam sefer zicharon. I'm writing it down. I write it down. V'ayu li divrehem yamim liyom asher ani seh segula. I will keep those words to the day that I keep treasured. Asher atzarti v'inachti v'shalem bo gemuli, that I have saved up to pay back those who I owe. V'shamer etchem ha'bein tzadik l'rasha. Meaning what? Says there's going to be a whole group of people that when the trouble comes, they're going to question God. And they're going to reject God. And then there's going to be another group of people that accept, that retain their faith in God despite the trials and tribulations. And the Navi says, I promise you, those people who accept the trials and tribulations with faith, what?
Get their rewards.
They'll get their reward.
It's like a Mitzrayim.
What do you
mean? People that didn't want to go out in Mitzrayim, didn't believe, all of a sudden, you know, they're gone.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard. Meaning, he's trying to encourage people, and he's saying to them, "I'm sure it was like an everyday thing. People would go to him and say, you rabbis are just nuts. You know, you firm people are crazy. You know, you spend all this time worshiping God, and where's God now? I'm not. But it's not far from the imagination to imagine that those conversations happened quite a bit.
So,
and here, Rav Teichel is." He's doing everything he can to encourage people, and he says, I can't tell to you, but we have faith in the Ribbono Shel Olam. And those people who retain their faith in God during the most difficult of times, Kadosh Baruch Hu will remember you.
It's totally not like the way that like modern kiruv or modern like attempts to get to people works.
I mean, if you have someone that's
like getting intermarried. Like, the classic thing is, like, they say, oh, well, you know, if you marry out, you know, your kids aren't going to be Jewish. And,
they don't
you
care.
Know, and you know, care. God will strike you down and whatever, and that does not work.
Somebody says.
What? I don't know. You have probably more experience than anybody else.
Somebody says.
He's saying, like, you know, stay to the straight and narrow, because when it comes to the day of judgment, God will reward those people that stayed on the path.
I don't think you use the term day of judgment as a...
The day of reckoning, or the day of...
The day of truth. Day of payback.
Day of payback. This is all...
But I mean, right? The positive, it's not the same. When it comes to day of treasure, Yom Segula.
When it comes time
to be rewarded, the Lord God will remember he who deserves reward.
I'm not saying that that's wrong. But like today, like modern day, like people, you say to people, like, you know... What? Well, just like, you know, okay, that's nice, but like, you know, I'm having a good time, like, leave me alone, you know? I don't know, it's just like...
Doesn't do it for you.
No, it does. For me personally, I think we all live that way, otherwise...
Otherwise
we'd be like out doing who knows what, but...
Really? It's not really a good argument in general, because... What would we be doing? It's not really a good argument in general, because...
Who knows what?
Because the whole point is, if you believe in the system, then you believe that God's going to pay you back. And if you don't believe in the system, then you don't believe that God's going to pay you back anyway. So it's like, oh, you better believe in God, because He's going to pay you, and I promise He'll pay you back in the end. And that's the whole point. I don't believe in God, so why would I care if He paid me back, because He's not going to.
I mean, I guess, what motivates you more? Is it, like, the fear of, like, what might happen, or potential reward? Or, like, the
sense of fulfillment that you're doing the right thing from other good reasons. I mean, like when you make someone, they can come from because like they enjoy eating chant on Shabbos and like it feels good to them to be religious. They feel like the right, it feels right rather than like you're going to burn in hell if you don't put on your tzitzis tomorrow.
They're not God fearing. Doesn't bring people to...
Yeah, I mean, you go to, like we were all, we were at today, and just, like, you know, we were at this funeral this afternoon, and there isn't, like, one person, I think, of our age group that can honestly say that, you know, you hear about that, and you don't think, like, oh, boy, you know, tomorrow could be the big day, and, you know, then you start thinking, you know, about, well, better clean up my act, you know, because who knows what's coming around the corner. And then at the same time, I don't know that that has as much power to motivate people.
I'll be brutally honest with you.
Yeah.
That wasn't my response.
I'm not saying it's the only response.
No, my response was much different. My response was, wow, all the garbage that I really think I have problems with, it's like so nothing compared to, you know what I'm saying? Like,
ain't nothing on me, you know, for sure.
And of course you're afraid for your children and for your, you know what I'm saying? Yeah?
I mean, that you can't, you see someone that's your age, you know...
What?
Excuse
me? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, I just made, like, so those who are listening, where our little community is dealing with Lo Aleinu, it was a terrible tragedy that a young man, age of 40, was on a treadmill last night, and he had a heart attack, and he passed away. So we should all learn Leilu Nishmato. What was his name? Is it there?
Aria Zev Ben, I don't remember what. Mm.
So we're all kind of reeling from it. I mean, it's the same question, this idea of tragedy. So what do you tell... I'll be honest with you. I want to share with you something because my wife called me, and this is not my advice. And of course, my daughter asked the inevitable question, which is,
"Why did it happen?"
No, that's not what she's concerned about. It's going to happen to Abba. That's what every child is concerned with, and whether they ask you explicitly or not, as soon as they hear it, they're afraid. So it just so happens that I work in a college with great people, and there's a person who I speak with. He's a tremendous Yoetz. I tried to get him to come tomorrow to talk, but he didn't have time. And he said to me, I said, what do I say to my daughter? Like, I just don't know what to say to her. And he said to her, first of all, the tone that we use is critically important. Meaning, children need to have a sense of confidence in the future. And if we speak to them fearfully, if we share our thoughts and our fears with them, it will scare them. Then he said, secondly, but the words are also important. He said, you never lie to your children. But you say the following. You say, when we go to sleep at night, we ask Hashem to watch over us, and we wake up in the morning, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for watching over us. And we always believe and have faith that Ribbono Shel Olam will protect us, and that being said, we have plans to be here for many, many years to come. I mean, you want to convey to them that we're confident that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to protect us, that He's with us, and that we're going to be with you for a long, long time. I think that's I just want to share that with you, just lo kashur le'inyan, but kashur, you know, we're all struggling, and I think it's a I called my wife my daughter brought it up again because she's clearly concerned about it, and she did that and helped her a lot. Like, kids are afraid, and it's important to convey that message. And I think we're struggling with this idea of tragedy of tragedy striking, of people suffering, even on a teeny, 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 tiny level. Like, how do we deal with this idea of this very young person, and it's so difficult to understand, and one day he's here and another day he's not. Like, I have this picture, like, I feel like life is kind of like, you have this picture of these soldiers on the battlefield, and you just have to keep charging forward, and some guy to the left of the soldier is getting picked off, and some guy to the right of the soldier, you know what I'm saying? And it's just keep marching, because what else are you going to do? You know, whatever.
Run.
Yeah, keep running. Okay. That's what hurt him.
Run back another way.
Where are you going to run? You know what I'm saying? So he says, anyway, let me just finish the point.
There's always somewhere to run.
He prophesies what would happen. The terrible tragedies, terrible difficulties, the trials that were going to come upon us in the Chavdei Mashiach. Until people would come to say, Shav Avod Elokim. Why worship God? What benefit is to keep His Torah? He says, well, this is what we're hearing every day. But, I promise, Yirei Hashem, but Bekim Hashem, Dibru Isha Re'eu, Shaloli Debek Masayim Ra'im, Bechizku V'imsu Isha Re'eu. He says, but I used to have to be strong. I mean, Aaron, like, what else are you going to say to them? What else is Rav Tachta going to say to his people? Like, how do you say no? Kadosh Baruch Hu is there. You have to have emuna. Really? You know what I'm saying? And the answer is, in our objective, you know, hindsight and seeing the whole picture, it's very easy for us, not in that terrible suffering, it's easy for us to say, oh yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's like, that wouldn't work for me. But what else is he supposed to say?
I don't know.
What do you want him to say? You know
like,
what I'm saying?
If you look at like the whole like Breslov, Rav Arush, like all that like stuff, which is like taken off like wildfire. Like, why is that so popular? Why?
So interesting. I ask the exact same question. Is that relevant to our discussion though?
Yes.
Why?
Because I think that for a long time,
we're not in a time of great suffering. Sorry.
No. 1 second. For a long time, like there's been a sense of approach in Yiddishkeit of Rav Teichel's approach. I mean, it's a very classic approach in the sense that, like, you know, the faithful hold out because, you know, there will come a day when God will show that all of your hard work was worthwhile, and, you know, you'll go up to Shemayim and you'll get your wings and whatever that means, and, you know, Hashem will smite down the wicked and reward the good.
Really? You think that's...
That's kind of what he's saying, you know. He's saying, hang in there, you know. Hang
of course
in there.
He's hanging in there. He's in the middle of Holocaust.
No, but what I'm saying, what the whole Breslov thing is like, it's not saying that at all. It's saying like, if you live according to the Torah, like you will be happy and uplifted. It's
no.
What?
No.
Yeah, like life is good. Like if you do, if
I say again, that works very well right now. You know, and I'm telling you,
it could work at any time.
In the Holocaust,
it's the same thing.
Sorry, come on, let's be.
I'm not saying that
you never fully dressed without a smile.
Hey,
you know, what do you want to start thinking like Little Orphan Annie? You know, I'm mean, like,
but like,
notice that the whole Breslover thing took off now, when things are
times are good.
Yes. Times are here. I agree with you.
What about Chassidus? Like all of that was.
I
also
asked. No, Chassidus was in response to the Vilna Gaon, to the coldness, and they were looking for warmth, but it has nothing to do with the Holocaust. And I'm sensitive to your question, but I think it's not necessarily relevant to our discussion.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I really am sensitive to your question. I'm very much wondering why it's taken off so much, and I think that people are struggling
because people like to feel good about themselves.
Well,
people like to feel.
In the middle of Budapest,
people don't like it. Doesn't
I think you got to put yourself in the situation and see if you're being realistic and reasonable to expect. And I feel good about yourself when you have nothing
people
to
in the
eat.
Holocaust,
you're literally starving to death. People are dying of God only knows what all around you.
So there's two approaches. I mean, some people took their tefillin and threw them into the fire and said, you know, God's not here. He's gone. Goodbye.
Right.
And I think that the people that stayed true were people that felt that there was, that this was Kiyem Chayenu V'Orach Yameinu. And that, therefore, like, there's no other way of living. Like, this is what makes us tick.
Right, but I think asking them to say, like, and have Simcha Sachayim, you know, in the dark.
I don't know about, I'm not saying, like, singing and dancing, but tell people, hey, guys, listen, they're probably going to shoot half of us tomorrow.
Correct. So what else do you have?
But,
how am I supposed to...
But don't worry about it, because God is going to save those people who are faithful.
That's exactly what he's saying. He's saying that there's a... don't we all believe that, in a sense? That, lo aleinu, I mean, I'm sorry, we're struggling with this issue. Here you have a wonderful 40-year-old guy. We didn't know the guy at all. But, like, you have to believe in some kind of gemul that we don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to us. His children's suffering don't make sense to us. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to work it all out. It's his problem. It's not my problem.
But it doesn't...
So you think it's bigger than one person, right? It's like... Because Rav Tachta may not think that he's going to survive or whatever.
Right.
He's not just saying, well, I'm going to survive because I'm still following the path, right? He's just saying it's bigger than all of us, right?
But all I'm...
And we'll be all right in the end.
I think that's true. I think that's true.
All right, but you
have to figure out, like, what... He obviously, as a Rav, like, as all Rebbeim want to, they want to give...
Strength.
Mm-hmm. And they also want to motivate people to... improve and to...
I hate to break it to you, he actually does think it'll help him get out. Let me just finish the paragraph, okay? Let me see the paragraph. He says, Chizku v'yimtzu yishuvei ogdi v'yil yishayu v'chichiti lahem hamastir panam mibeit Yaakov. I will wait for them, says God. V'kiviti lo, and I will hope for them. Hainu, av shemastir panam mibeit Yaakov, even though God hides his his face from Beit Yaakov. Av al pikin achakev akavel Hashem. Nonetheless, right, I will hope and wait for God. Vakadosh Baruch Hu shomea umakshid dvarim halalu. God hears these things. Shedevru yirei Hashem ishavei biyom tzara, that the people say during times of trial and tribulation. Vekotev divrehem b'sefer zikaron. Ve'achar kach, he writes it down. Bevo yom agmur v'ayishu, on the day of salvation. Yir'eh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, etah chiluk bein elu shedavku bo, bein elu shesaru mimenu. God will see who clung and who did not cling. V'nirali, and I think, al tzadikim halalu shenichtavu v'sefer zikaron lefanav, the tzadikim that were written in the Book of the Good, Kiven Daniel be'amro, Daniel said, u'ba'etahi yimalet kol anim sakatu b'sefer. Anyone written in that book will escape. Hainu, elu shedavku b'kadosh baruch hu af be'etai ster panim, those who clung to God even when the God's face was hidden, b'nichtavu b'sefer, elu yimaltu be'et zorot shel chevelei mashiach. These people will escape during the times of trouble of chevelei mashiach. When thinking about it objectively, how shall we say this? In a very gentle way. Right? He needed to believe that his faith would literally save him. Although logic flies in the face of that, there were plenty of believers who went to their deaths as believers. In the end, including he himself. You know what I'm saying? But he needed that. It's
the only way to think.
What? You could think that it's not in this world. Like, one gets a sense that he really felt that he would literally he would be literally saved, meaning those people who had clung to their faith.
God would swoop down and save those people.
Yeah, don't you see that? I mean, that's really what he says, and it's tragic in a sense. And I understand why he felt.
That's a human reaction.
Oh, right, 100%.
What else am I supposed to do? Like, survival is the ultimate one and zero game, and if I do what God says, then I should get.
I'm a devoted Torah Jew, and I'm going to step up my devotion even more so. To be saved. I mean, what am I going to think? Because I can play halfway.
100%. It's 100%.
That's never happened. That's never happened. Why would he think that? In all of Jewish history, that's never. Purim. But that's the whole. That's what John said. Like the whole flaw. Right. That's never happened. What? Like in the Churban HaBayit and in all the wars. I mean, the people get killed indiscriminately, like Tzadik and Russia. I mean, Hashem.
I don't think he's saying.
You don't think he's saying literally?
I'm going to be saved because I'm on the right path.
What does he say? Elu shedavku b'kadosh baruch hu, those who cling to God.
It's got
to
be ultimately, like in the
world. Elu yimletu be'et. No, elu yimletu limalet. How does he translate it? Limalet, yimalet. These people, limalet means will escape. Be'et hatzarot shechev le'mashiach. Yimaltu. It's a very specific.
Yes,
I would like to believe also he meant, right, he's talking in spiritual sense.
Remember in the introduction he's talking
about. You think that's what he says?
In the introduction, remember he's talking about people who cling to the right path, that when Mashiach comes, they're not going to have to go through underground and all
that's if they're buried, stuff. If they're dead. Correct.
Okay. But it's the same thing.
I understand what you're saying.
There's going to be a German guy there, and his gun is not going to be able to shoot me. I don't think he's saying that.
I understand what you're saying, and I would like to think that you said the same thing, but I'm just. Did you see what he says? Did you find it? I didn't see it.
Is at that time, everyone who will be found written in the book will escape.
That's what he says. You don't understand that.
Time, dot, dot, dot.
If that's.
I understand. I understand. I understand. I would like to agree with you, but I don't think that's what he's saying. I understand why you want to say that.
Really, I think saying, he really believed that, like...
He's saying, and therefore, since I... Is he saying...
Friars,
and he's saying, like, since I believe, therefore...
What, 42 or 43?
42, 43. Since I... Remember the introduction...
Many Rabboni.
Remember his introduction...
Killed,
no, it's true. Remember his... 100%. Remember his introduction? How he said that he really believed, like, why did he promise to write the book? Why did he take a neder to write the book?
So he could... Convince everybody to save.
And to be saved himself. He's clinging to this belief. It's almost it's unbelievable in a sense, but it's understandable. It's his lifeline. And it's on the one hand tragic and inspiring at the same time. No?
Then we all don't know what would happen if we were in such a situation.
But
it should be. But you know, it's like then you get into the thing you could say, well, I'll say anything in order to save myself.
Hold on, right. I want to continue because I got to finish this piece.
Saying, you know what, I'm just going to say whatever.
What? I'm never going to finish? We have to get on a little bit. Okay. As I'm telling this thing to print, I have no books. Alken eni yachol letzayin makom betanach. I can't quote you the exact source. Alken bevaday yichazek atzmo kol ish Yisraeli bitata kashot ha'elu. Every ish Yisraeli should strengthen himself. Uba yima eid karzulo. Do not let his ankle stumble. Ki bo yavo eit asher yigalel le'enei kol. Everyone will see very soon. Hachilug bein ovei Elokim lo avdo. They're going to see it. Kenevuat anaviv yikayim ba'atzmo mashanu min tefila. And will be fulfilled. That's what we say. B'chol zot shimcha lo shachachnu. Nonetheless, God, we've not forgotten your name. K'day lanu lisa kol ol ha-galut b'chol chamotei aleinu. We should bear this terrible burden of the galut. B'mnei godel ha-gumul shi'aseh lanu kodesh baruch hu yom ha-shi'aseh zgula. For the great reward we will get on that great day. L'shalem gumul l'chol l'chad k'fi pa'lo asher pa'alim kodesh baruch hu. That God will reward each person, right? Corresponding to the goodness that he's done. Okay, next topic. But he's gonna. And then we have to get into a question, and we'll start it, and then we'll stop. We have to get his first answer, and then we'll stop. Ulam lichor yipale adavar meod. Seems very strange, wondrous. Lama yaseh Hashem kacha? Lahavid lanu meshicho beemtzaut tzarot gedolot. He says, we all know it's true. But anybody ever stop to ask the question?
Why?
Why? Why does God need to make us suffer? Hachik sarach chas v'shalom yad Hashem v'lo sheinu b'di tzarot. Is God's hand, his ability, not have the ability to save us without pain? He could give us the great, it could be terrific. Why does it have to be bad? So he's going to give three answers. 1A, 1B, and then his answer. 2, we'll call it. 1A, 1B, and 2. Today we'll start with the 1A, and then we'll do the 1B. Ach. Says Beruach Kodesh, and it's Ruach Hakodesh. Tam Adavar Zeh. It gives a reason. There's two ways for Mashiach to come. Bechina Aleph, Bechinat Romamut veGadlut. Right, the aspect of Romamut and Gadlut, greatness and exaltation. Bechinat Zachash Amru Chazal. Okay, so you have to understand. There's a Gemara that says, right. There's a very, very famous Gemara that says, Ani Hashem Beita Achishena. I am God Beita. In its time, Achishena, I will make it come quickly.
It's a Navi.
What?
It's a Navi.
No, I mean, I only learned Navi from the Gemara. Okay, so the Gemara says, what does the Gemara say about that Navi? The Gemara says it's an internal contradiction. Is it, if it's B'ita, if it's in its time, then it's not Achishena. And it's not coming quickly. And if it's not, if it's Achishena, then it's not in its time. So the Gemara says, Zachu Achishena, lo Zachu B'ita. If they merit, then it'll happen quickly. If they don't merit, then it'll happen not quickly. So he says, the first element, you can get Mashiach one of two ways. You can get it Romamut, exaltation, terrific, or you can get it not. First kind is Zachu. Pchina bet, second kind, mitoch aniyut v'dachkut. Right? Through poverty and dachkut, dochak, difficulty. Zeh asher rabbi zanavi, hinei malach yavo, hu ani v'rochev al hachamor. Would you get that image of the poor man riding on the donkey? You actually got it from the Navi Zechariah. He says, but haynu bebechinat ani shurochev al hachamor hu bechinat lo zacha. The image of the poor guy riding on the donkey is not the way we want Mashiach to come. What do we want Mashiach to be coming on? Personally,
trumpet.
No, to riding on.
Flying trumpet.
What? Yeah. You could ride a Beamer. I don't know. What would be the appropriate car for Mashiach to ride it on?
No,
Benjamin. German? No, yeah. Oh, come on. Aren't we over
no
that?
German cars.
No German cars.
No.
What do you want him to be driving? A Toyota? Like a... No, you know,
no, an Aston Martin. Come on.
Oh, stop.
British
cars.
Break down before
it gets... He'll never make it.
Driving on the wrong side of the road.
I don't know. What do you want to ride in? What?
It would be
great. Like what car should the Mashiach drive in?
A hover vehicle from Star Wars.
What?
No.
Oh. No. What would you say when the Mashiach drove up? Would you really expect? You know, like when we like
Dragon.
what did every like you know Rebbe drive in? It was like an old minivan.
K car. K car with the wood on the side.
You know what I'm saying? With the wood on the side. It's like this is Deja Wagon.
Bunch of kids bouncing in the back seat with
hanging out the sides. So Mashiach drives up in that. Would you say?
No, the Putmobile.
What?
Please park in the back.
Yeah, right. But anyway, maybe a Lexus. You know, Lexus. Mashiach came in a Lexus. Would you be upset?
The Pope doesn't drive in Lexus.
What does he drive in? He drives in a glass thing.
The Batmobile.
Oh, the Batmobile would be cool. And if you, it seems like a silly question, but what car should Mashiach drive?
Who cares?
Of course it matters.
Really changed the thing.
So does it matter.
I'm so taking 0% of my life thinking about it.
Think about it right now.
One of you is going to say
that. That's the soda water. Think about it right now. No, but that's exactly his point. That's exactly his point. The stature of Mashiach is significant. It is significant.
Jonathan's more on the content.
Whatever he gets out of the car, whatever car he gets out of, he'll be magnificent.
That's not true, because whatever car he gets out of will be an indication of how he's coming.
No.
That's exactly what he's saying. If we don't do what God wants, it will come to poverty and strife and difficulty. That pain will fulfill our zchut.
Coming in
Mashiach,
he's not talking about the physicalness of it, like what car he's driving.
Yeah, of course.
I don't agree. I really don't. Is Mashiach someone who comes in? Is he honored? Is he mechubad? Is he coming
he's
in?
Mashiach. He's well, we're gonna well.
No one will care if he's like wearing shabby clothes or a three-piece suit.
Really? Have you met Jews recently?
No, according to this.
Once Mashiach comes, he'll be like,
putting a modern day Christian, you're not putting nights before.
Mashiach is coming now.
What's he wearing in Budapest? I mean, I'm sorry, he's not. He's
wearing a black coat.
Yeah, and probably a dirty one.
100%. And that's what. And what is he saying?
He doesn't say. Right,
and he's saying, "Why am I suffering?" It's because we don't merit Mashiach coming the way I want him to come.
You're right.
That's exactly what he's saying. He's saying, if I was better, then I wouldn't be wearing this schlumpy, terrible black coat. I'd be dressed in my, every day in my Shabbos black coat, and it'd be clean, and mechubad, and people would look up to me. And I'd be driving a nice car.
And he wouldn't be riding this, because they wouldn't be in the other car.
And Hanami. He wouldn't be writing the book either. He wouldn't have to. That's exactly the point. But because I am in the Holocaust, and I am writing the book, it's a symbol that we're getting Mashiach because of Oni, and we have to pay in order to deserve this. Right? If we had only kept the Torah in the mitzvot, we wouldn't have had this pain. He wouldn't come on a donkey. He'd come on a shining, gleaming stallion. Ayin Sham. That's who he'd drive. A Mustang. Okay. Okay. Eight. Ainu lefanai. Can I get the right hand of my rab? Kalulon kol akitzin.
Let me tell you, the Ferrari is also standing.
Hybrid.
Is he organic?
What?
Ferrari is also standing.
Ah, Ferrari. Yeah. Okay, then we have a little bit of Chuba Masim Tobim. Rav says it's been a Masim Tobim. Shmuel Amod Dayo Le'Evel Shamod Be'Evlo. It's enough for the Avel to be in his Avelilut. Perish Rashi Dayan Yisrael Tzar Galut. It's enough that we have the Tzar Galut. Afilu Belo Chuba Nigalin. Why are we suffering, he says? We're suffering as a kapara because we don't merit the Bia Mashiach without it. And if we suffer enough, that will counterbalance our lack of Torah mitzvot.
Then he's saying that there is another option, right? Because he starts talking,
right.
First of all, he's saying,
why does Mashiach have to come?
Come?
The answer is, and it's a very good point, and the answer is, it doesn't have to be that way.
Because we're all bad people.
It doesn't have to be that way. It could be better. It's not necessarily. And the way they describe, when Navi Yeshaya described Chevle Mashiach, he was describing one possibility. But in reality, there are two possibilities. And I'd much rather option A than option B. But what Lo'aleinu, what can we do? What? Lo'aleinu, we're in option B. Not option A.
Mashiach should be here already on the donkey.
What do you mean?
Because we've been through the pain.
See, you're thinking about Mashiach as a guy. You sure he's a guy? There's going to
be
a guy. It will eventually be a guy. But you have to think about Mashiach more as a process, more as a...
Is it donkey?
Do you think
what?
So Mashiach is
no, there will be a guy. Clearly there will be a guy.
Yes,
without
a doubt.
Yes, without a doubt.
I'm riding upon a donkey.
What will he be riding? You don't care.
No, okay. Where according to this, it's very physical. It's very
donkey. If he came today, would he be riding a donkey? If he came today, would he be riding a donkey?
I don't know, man.
Honestly. Literally?
Yeah.
You expect him to ride a donkey?
Yeah.
Come on.
How do you
not
know?
Well, why would he ride a donkey?
Oh my God.
Can I ask you, would you take it seriously if a guy gets out a donkey and he rides into like the old city of Yerushalayim?
Yeah.
He's
more newsworthy than an Alexis.
And he's white.
It's nice.
Yeah.
Let them you rode a donkey.
It's like Gandalf.
It's going down the mountain miles, right? Do you think he's going to be driving a Skoda? Is that what you think?
I'm with you.
Of course he's going to be on a donkey.
Pushing a Skoda.
He's going to be on a donkey and there's going to be a big shofar.
Stop here.
Carbonos.
Stop here.